been 7 or 8 weeks since I recorded my last episode, which is the longest it's been since I launched a podcast. Before I jump into like the theme of today's particular episode, thought I would just kind of jump into a few things as to why it's taken me so long to get another episode out, and my kind of thoughts and feelings at the moment about the podcast, and just to kind of give you a rundown as to what's going on. So this is more like a pre, I'll put this before the intro music, so it's more of a pre-episode disclaimer. I think, you know, it's been a long time because, like most people in this current climate, I've just been having quite a difficult time mentally, which in turn has actually led to the topics of this episode, which I'll touch upon later. So that's good news. Like, I had a bit of a shit time in December and January, and I did my last podcast episode was the top 10, you know, things that I've learned since having, you know, panic disorder and anxiety for the last 10, 11 years, which was a good episode, and I was in a good place at the time. But, you know, I've been like in and out of like good and bad mindsets, and I think that's quite common and quite normal for a lot of people at the moment, because especially because we're going through a pandemic at the moment. One of my big things, though, is I don't want to theme episodes too much around a pandemic, because I want every episode to kind of have some longevity so that people can listen back regardless of pandemic or not. So I'm trying to find particular themes that could be used outside of a pandemic. That's kind of what I'm doing. But anyway, that's kind of why, that's like point number one as to why it's been so long. I've just sort of haven't really had the motivation to record an episode. And I'll come to why, because I think there's a few things, really. I think firstly, it's like I don't really get a lot of feedback when I drop a new episode, like a new podcast. I get one or two people who will normally reach out and, you know, speak to me about stuff, which is really cool. But, you know, it's not, I don't get loads and loads of feedback. And sometimes that's quite difficult because, you know, first and foremost, I started this really as a place for me to kind of like, I don't know, get stuff off my chest and almost like create dialogue about this kind of issue or these issues per se. So I guess I need to remember it's very much diary format and conversation based. And there's a couple things there. So like, I don't really know if people want my content. Do you know what I mean? So when I drop a new episode, I get a couple messages here and there, but like, you know, I don't get massive feedback, so I don't know how helpful these episodes are. I'm not sure if people are actually finding solace in them as much. And also, it's like, do people just get curious because they see me post it on my sort of personal social media channels? But that's what I need to remember. I did start this as like a personal diary, just creating dialogue. So that's definitely the sort of main reason why I started this podcast in the first place. And I have got a lot of plans for the podcast. A few other things as well to mention is, you know, there's a massive lack of guests right now. Like when I started this, the kind of purpose was to have, you know, be talking to someone once a week. And I don't want to use Zoom. I don't want to do stuff online. I want to do it like face to face, which in turn is where the podcast is going, because eventually every single episode will be video based, but with also the audio being uploaded to wherever you're listening right now. But, you know, that's the thing. The podcast was originally meant to be catered towards loads of different people and just having conversations about mental health. In turn, we've been in lockdown for so long in this current climate, and I want to keep producing content because I do enjoy making podcast episodes. It's really nice for me. I feel good when I do it. But obviously, that goes on to my third point, which is like, I don't really think I'm someone who is very good at like educating, rather just describing what I've been through. So I look at like loads of YouTubers and stuff, and a lot of their episodes are themed around really cool things, and they've got like, they've done research and they have a lot of conviction when they're kind of talking about topics. Whereas for me, it's more like up in the air, just kind of brainstorming stuff on the fly. I don't really write things down before an episode. I just kind of free flow it, which is kind of difficult at times, but that just kind of sums me up. So because this is not really an educational channel, it's more just like a very raw, it's almost like anti-self-help. I keep labeling that more and more, like, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but more like I just try and be really raw and just describe what I'm going through in order to try and create a sense of familiarity with people around me who are also kind of struggling. So yeah, in turn, that's what makes solo episodes harder to come up with in terms of the theme. Definitely when life is about real experiences, and at this current time, it's hard to have a lot of those. And also there's a few things, like, I think the podcast growth is very hard to gauge. Like, a lot of the time I'll sit around and be like, do people even want to hear me talk about my shit? Like, are people actually interested? I don't get crazy, like I said, not crazy amounts of traction. So again, but I'm not doing it for clout or like to grow. It'll be a pretty shit way to get clout as well. It's a bit embarrassing, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? But, you know, realistically, I don't know. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, no one really needs to podcast today. Like, but then other times I get some really cool messages and it kind of encourages me to keep going. I've definitely got some really good ideas coming up though. Like, I'm going to do a whole episode based on my experience getting mugged twice in the same year. You know, getting robbed was tough, and knife point, gun point. It was a difficult time. And I put something on my personal Instagram story recently, just very randomly, highlighting the place where I first got robbed. And it had some really nice, replies from people. And I think I'm going to go into some more detail about my experience, because that was essentially the catalyst that, like, basically created my mental health journey. That's where it all began. And the conclusion of that story is me finally confronting the person that mugged me 11 years later. So I want to really tell that story. And that's kind of what I think I'm best at, just sort of storytelling rather than like trying to educate. And that's what this episode you're about to listen to is going to be based on. So that's my little pretext. That's just a bit about what I've been up to. Well, how I've been feeling. And, you know, if you are someone who listens to every episode, please, you know, well, if you feel comfortable enough, make it known. I mean, I know I have, like, to be honest, like, I do have like 500 to 1,000 listeners per episode. But at the same time, you don't know if that's just algorithm based, if that's just like people just kind of coming across it in the background, which is still great. But also, it's like, if people want to, if this is helpful for people, please just make it known to me. I think it will just give me a bit of encouragement to carry on. I mean, I want to carry on regardless. I don't know what I'm trying to get at, but essentially, like, if you feel like you enjoy these episodes, please make it clear to me. That'll be really helpful, because it'll just kind of help me keep motivated to keep recording and stuff, and you know, keep active with it, because I love this channel and I want to do so much of it. But yeah, cool. Okay, I'm going to jump into the episode and I'll see you on the other side. So this episode was basically built on a few fundamental things that I was discovering in January. So the reason it's been so long is because I had to take a step back from my life. I think January was quite difficult, where I realized how much I actually relied on social interaction. And December and January was a very, very large social drought for those in the pandemic in the UK. It seems to be a similar story elsewhere. But, you know, from experience and from who I've spoken to, it, the UK was hit quite hard with this sort of social, quote unquote, social drought. I definitely feel like it affected me, and it got on top of me quite a lot. I was really beating myself up. So this kind of goes into a few different things. I think what it was that at the start of the lockdown, and again, this is very much pandemic based, but I think you can kind of like dissect this entire story and apply it outside of lockdown. There's different ways and different things you can look at. So I'll explain it from this point of view and then we'll just kind of go from there. But when the pandemic first hit, I think definitely for me and a lot of people, I became closer with my mates than ever before. And my family, for that matter. I think, like, for years we just coasted along, and then suddenly when you're forced into a sense of isolation with your household, you know, the video calls were a thing, the parties, like the sort of virtual parties were a thing, the quizzes were a thing, phone calls were a thing, daily video calls were a thing, like walking around on a video call, it was so common. I felt so connected to all my friends. I felt more connected to the world than I'd ever done in my life. Yeah, admittedly, that's because I was on social media more, but actually just having like interaction with my friends virtually was a very big help for me. And then, you know, when the lockdown started to ease in the UK, the summer here was fairly social. We were able to sort of go out and meet and in certain group sizes and stuff. And I think I had a really good time. And me and my friends were very connected. I definitely felt closer to the friends, to my group than ever before. We strengthened our relationship in so many different ways. So I was very grateful for that. But then I think when October, November hit, October 2020, and the second lockdown was in effect, I definitely felt like that cohesion and like glue that held us together was slowly melting away again, which is kind of common because people were fed up with lockdown. People were fed up with going, you know, you get a taste of freedom and it's back into a sense of isolation. A lot of people just try to just do things without their mates to pass the time. No one wanted to jump on video calls as much. People were just quite content just doing their thing on their own, which is fair enough. But me, I became quite salty about it. I had to isolate like 3 times in the space of 2 months for 2 weeks at a time. It was quite difficult. And I really struggled. But when I came out of that in January, I really felt like I had a lack of connection with all my mates, and everything in my life was feeling like it wasn't going well. So for me, that's where the title for this episode kind of was born from. Because at the start of January, there was a few things I noticed that I was really, really not very good at. So firstly, I was very salty towards my mates. I kind of thought to myself, why does no one give a fuck? No one wants to do a video call anymore. No one's around anymore. It's like we're in a lockdown and everyone's tired, but I felt like betrayed and left behind by my mates. And I tried really hard to repair it. So I tried to be as social as I could, like virtually, tried to organize stuff, tried to do this, tried to do that. But it just wouldn't work. And I was getting angry at myself for not making it work. And I was relying on jumping on video calls and stuff with my mates to sort of, you know, pass the time. But as soon as that stopped, I had nothing else. So I kind of was angry at my friends because of that. It's not very fair to do that in the slightest. They don't owe me anything. Do you know what I mean? So that was one thing that I realized. Secondly, things were going wrong for me in the lockdown. Like, my sleep was fucked. Like, it was so difficult. I couldn't sleep very well. So I tried to fix it. I just kept trying to fix everything in my life, you see. This is where the common ground is sort of forming. I kept trying to fix stuff and fix my sleep. And then every time I couldn't fix it, I just used to beat myself up and just feel shit about it. I was upset about the world and how we were still locked down and I didn't know what was next. And everything was really, really difficult. So one day in January, I sort of had a bit of a breakdown and it was really, really tough. And I thought to myself, I can't rely on anyone right now. There's no social interaction, even on video calls. None of my mates really have the energy. I need to really just like get on with things. Obviously, it's very much easier said than done. When someone says, oh, just get on with it, it's like, shut the fuck up. You don't understand what you're talking about, right? So, you know, I said that to myself and then I kind of argued like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. So I kind of reworded it and I was like, just accept everything's shit. Just accept we're in a social drought right now. And as soon as I kind of said it out loud to myself, well, in my head, I didn't really say it out loud, not going to lie. I didn't speak out loud. But as soon as I admitted it to myself, I was like, I'm just going to accept everything's shit. I'm going to accept that none of my mates are around. And they're not going to be around until things resume back to normality. I need to accept that my sleep is fucking terrible and I can't do anything about it. I need to accept that the gyms are closed and I can't go work out in a gym. I need to accept that things are going to be really boring. You know, I need to accept that. Just all these different things. I just started to accept everything. And it almost goes back to a book that I read back in the day called The Fuck It Therapy book, which was really, really fascinating. And it also links to a book that I keep raving about, which is A Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. But essentially, I realized that I just had to accept my current situation and just kind of take responsibility and just kind of be like, right, okay, this is what I need to do. Just accept everything. And as soon as I did that, I really relaxed. I relaxed a lot, actually. I kind of took a step back and just thought, it's all right. Like, it's going to be shit right now. And in turn, my entire attitude changed. My entire mindset changed. I just felt good about stuff. I just felt like I was living again. And I just really felt comfortable for the first time in so long. Because I just accepted my situation and just realized that there was nothing I could really do to change it. And I'd stopped like trying to force video calls on my mates and just try to, you know, I just stopped everything, which was really helpful. And in turn, I was able to, you know, map out the next, because this was in January. So I was like, right, what I'll do, I'll sort of see how this goes for a month. Then I'll record it in a podcast episode. And that's exactly where I'm at the moment. That's kind of what I've wanted to do. So at this stage, that's exactly how I feel. It's like, okay, what have I learned from the last month since I accepted that everything was going to be shit? What have I learned, you know, during a social drought? And I'm going to now discuss the key things that I have learned. So firstly, I think prioritizing yourself in a social drought is extremely difficult. It's not easy. It's not something that just, you know, you have to really work at it. And it comes from a place of self-love, but at the same time, it comes from a level of reliance. So I know a lot of people in this lockdown who have still not been able to really spend time alone. And they'll either break rules, like there's no, you know, they'll break rules or they'll see people 24/7 and they struggle to just be within their own company. This applies outside of a lockdown. We know people like this day to day, regardless of a pandemic, people that always need someone there. Now, you know, fair enough. Some people just need that. But it's a comfort zone thing, isn't it? And I've noticed I used to be this person. I used to be that guy. I would be someone who could never enjoy my own company. So I would just see people 24/7. And I hate to say it out loud. I hate to admit this. But a lot of my old friendships back in the day were built on my insecurities about being alone. And I had no one else to see. I'm not friends with these people anymore because I realized the older I got that I was never really friendly with them. It was more like I used them for, you know, their company. And we just weren't compatible people. And it took me a long time to realize that. And I've definitely realized now looking back that I'm glad that we're no longer friends. Not in a nasty way, you see. It's more like we just weren't right for each other. Same for girls that I was dating. A lot of girls that I dated, it was more like a comfort thing. This is going way back now. This is not in the recent years. This is like a long time ago. But I've definitely noticed that I reflected and realized that I was one of these people. And I spent so much time having to be around others and just, I could never be alone. If I was staying in one night, I just had to find someone to go out with and meet. And I definitely think a lot of my sort of acquaintances, I just spread myself so thin with friends that I just didn't really have any genuine connections, to be honest with you, which is really dark. And I know people now. I know people right now who still can't be alone, still can't be on, you know, can't just be by themselves. And I think it's just, I think I've just, now I've seen the other side, I can definitely look at other people and I can see it so clearly now when someone has that reliance. And I've realized now what it looks like from the other end, the other angle. I don't like these people. I do and I don't, you know, like I love them to pieces. I know who these people are. I've got time for them, but I just always feel used. And this is how people must have felt with me back in the day. Really nasty. I've just noticed it more and more. There's people that I know who just call me because they have no one else to call. And then they'll sort of like, they'll be on the phone to you talking about something. Then they'll get a phone call from someone else, but like, oh, back in a sec. And it's just like, okay, cool. But that would happen like 5 out of 9 times. Like it would just keep happening. And then you realize they don't actually give a fuck about you, that you're just another person for them to call. Or like they'll call you up to check in on you and you'll reply, you'll give like a 2-minute response and then they'll literally just start chewing your ear off, which is fine. It's good to talk about stuff. I get it. But it needs to be reciprocated. It's a two-way relationship. It's not one-sided. You can't dominate the 80% of that relationship. And then, or someone will call you up and be like, you know, I'm having a really hard time, da da da. And you feel quite special, you feel quite unique. And then you know as soon as you're off the phone with them, they're just going to call someone else. So you constantly feel like you're just another thing to be disposed of when the time's right. Whether or not that's actually true or not, that's the feeling it gives you. So essentially, this was going on in January. I kind of was thinking long and hard about my relationship and my experience with this. And I realized that I was actually someone who was guilty of this. And that took me a long time to kind of comprehend and come to terms with. So, you know, when that had happened, I'd suddenly essentially realize I've made a mistake in my life by being someone like this. So I wanted to undo it, even though in January, I wouldn't say that I was someone who always relied on people. I've become very good at being on my own, and from being single for so long and for also like living in so many different places on my own and just experiencing new things and new jobs and new people, I've just come to terms with being good with my own company. But don't get me wrong, I still get times where I'm like, I need to be around people. So when this happened in January, it's like, well, I can't do that anymore. So what can I do to really better myself? And I think the acceptance part of things like that really helped me develop into a stronger person, a stronger character for the last four weeks until like up to the present day. It's kind of interesting though, because it wasn't easy at all. Finding that self-love came from loads of different things, which not everyone can just do. I found my self-love from just trying my best to just do things alone. Not stuff in like a solitary way. Like I got back into games like World of Warcraft, like really nerdy online games where I didn't need anyone in my current friendship group to play with. I could just jump on and make friends online and just kind of play with them. And I found, you know, that experience really enjoyable because I would get really excited to jump on and play the game with other people online, but also to develop my skills and my character and stuff. And it's fucking nerdy, man. Like, you know, it's just one of those things, but it helped me a lot. I've been watching loads of TV shows. I've been reading loads of new books, stuff that I've just done on my own. If I ever have a video call, it gets exciting now because I don't have enough. But I've just really tried to get stuck into as many things that interest me as possible so that I don't need my friends to feel like I'm enjoying life. I get so much enjoyment from my own company now, whether it's going for these long walks that I do in the evenings or the daytime, whether it's I jump on a game and get stuck in with some online players and just do some stuff. I get more excited about that than jumping on a video call now. The point is, I know this is it sounds very specific to the pandemic, but the kind of icing on the cake here is I used to be someone who was very needy, and I've tried to work my ass off to stop being needy. And even now, I tend not to message my mates every day and see what they're up to. I just kind of let life flow with me at the sort of center point. Whereas before, I was always on the sideline trying to find the center point, which was like my mates. Whereas now I am the center point in my life. So I just kind of move freely within it, and I make plans for myself. And then if a natural plan emerges with a friend, then that's cool. I'll roll with it. But I don't put myself out there past the 50% mark anymore, which is what I used to do. And it doesn't make my friends bad people. It's just that I was someone who was more needy than them. So the friendship was always like 70, 80% sided on from my end. And that doesn't mean like a lack of friendship from the other side. It just meant that I was a needy friend who just needed more. I put more in to try and get more out, but you can't really do that. So I definitely feel like that's like one major lesson that I've learned, like 100%. And I never thought I'd actually be able to get to that stage where I could look back and analyze it and see the progress that I've made since I was young. Because like I said, I was very needy back in the day. It was hard to break the cycle. And again, I don't mean any disrespect to those who are still quite needy individuals who need that social interaction, because humans do need natural interaction with humans. It's just a thing that we do need. But I think accepting that we're not going to get the same level of that at the moment is really important. I know a lot of people who have been fighting this situation, fighting their scenarios, right? Instead of just kind of embracing it and being like, right, I can't do anything about this, so what can I do to just make it better? What can I do just to accept it and just ride the wave within the capacity, the level of capacity that I'm working at now? Because I think at the moment, everyone's sort of capped at 65% in terms of like well-being and mental stimulus. Like, I don't think anyone here is 100%, but I definitely think a lot of people here are 65%. Like, they're right at the top of how well they can be in this current time. And I think I'm there too. But, you know, it comes from a lot of self-reflection and kind of like looking within, and I hate saying stuff like that, but I've definitely seen friends and I'm guilty of this myself, who have been beating themselves up so much, whether or not they're looking for a job and they haven't got a job and they're like, oh, I'm really stressed and really struggling, or, you know, things are really shit for them at the moment and things are really shit in the world. And it's so true. And like, I don't blame them. I'm very sympathetic and empathetic of that. So completely understand. But I think everyone here is like, there's only so much we can do. You can't do anything else. You'll just burn yourself out by trying to fix the world around you and fix your current scenario. You can't do anything. You literally can't do anything. It's a waiting game now. I think humans really struggle with being patient. And that's not me criticizing. I'm also equally as terrible with patience. I find it hard to wait around and to be patient. Honestly, I get very restless, like most people do. But I think sometimes, you know, definitely when we've been in something this long now, again, referencing the pandemic, the patience, you know, learning to be patient is something we've just naturally had to do because it's been such a long time now in terms of, you know, what we expected originally. So I think there's a few different things there that people need to kind of identify within themselves. If it's like they're not being patient and they're beating themselves up and giving themselves a hard time, it's like, what can you do? You can't do anything. You can't. So like, you know, in a normal day and age, if you're having like a bit of a social drought, you would be able to just reach out to some mates and just get stuck in. The advice is kind of very opposite, because it's like, in a normal social drought, I would suggest, okay, well, you need to sort of integrate back into the sort of friendship culture, by putting yourself out there again with your old friends or friends that you haven't seen in a while. And it's going to feel really like rather uncomfortable at the start, but that's, you know, stepping out of the comfort zone. Whereas this advice, in specifically related to the pandemic, is the opposite, where it's like, you want to kind of draw yourself away from your mates in this particular social drought and just try and really understand how to better yourself as an individual in this current climate. Again, easier said than done. I'm not a teacher. I'm not an educator, which is why I find these episodes quite difficult to do, because I'm sure people are listening, and there's going to be people listening who are like, what do you want me to do then? How do I do it? That's something that you have to decide yourself, I think. I chose World of Warcraft, and I chose just to accept everything, how shit they were. And I kind of laughed it off. I was like, my sleep's shit, but it's going to be shit until the pandemic ends. And then suddenly I realized that I was going to sleep better. Like, I was sleeping longer, I wasn't waking up as much, and I was just kind of like, even if I did wake up, I was like, fuck it, like, what can I do about it? What can I do? Like, I'm doing 15,000 steps a day, I don't have much screen time after a certain time, I don't drink alcohol that late into the evening, I don't drink tea or coffee, like caffeine, I don't eat past like 8 p.m. all these different things. What can I do? I drink water, like, I haven't had water in my life. I eat healthy as I can. I listen to nice calming music. I meditate. I read a book before bed, like all these different things. Yet my sleep was shit still. So I was just beating myself up because it was like, I was trying everything and everything was failing and I just felt miserable. So instead I was just like, okay, cool. I'm going to accept it. Shit. My sleep's shit. So that's it. No pressure. Get into bed. Probably gonna have a shit night's sleep. What can you do? And in turn, because I stopped thinking about my sleep as much, my sleep got better. So it's kind of fascinating how like the mind works. But that could have been a complete fluky correlation. But it's just something to point out. So, and that goes back to what I was just saying. Like, everyone, you make the choice of how you want to kind of survive in this current climate. You know, I know a lot of people are struggling with it. People have messaged me and said, like, you know, my friends aren't replying as much and there's hardly anything going on. Hence, time for a little plug. The new artwork format, which is done by a good friend of mine, Mo Designs, and very, very, very good illustrations across the board. That was the sort of most fitting illustration I could think of for this episode title. I think a lot of people can relate to this front cover right now, which is, you know, not getting a reply in your group chat and just having it been seen by loads of people. And that's no disrespect to the group chats that I'm in. I know I'm gonna have a few mates message me like, I hope you don't mean the chat that we're in. It's like, well, yeah, I do. I actually do. But that's nothing personal to that individual or even the chat. People just don't have the energy. And that's what I'm trying to discuss here. This is not a criticism or a dig at people not replying. It's quite the opposite. I don't think anyone's really replying. I struggle to reply at the moment. But that's why I'm building this video, because it's like, how can you survive without that then? This is what I'm trying to explain today. A few other things to mention. Obviously, like I said, I had games and sort of, you know, hobbies to distract myself in. I think that was one of the strongest points. I've been on furlough since the start of Feb, so I've had a lot more time than usual, which would normally be harder and make life a lot more difficult. But in turn, I've been trying to keep a strong routine. My routine has really helped me. I'm someone who's quite routine-based anyway, but just having a general routine has been really useful. I've been waking up about 8, half 8 every day, regardless. And I'm normally in bed before 12, before midnight. And my routine is just very similar every day. It just keeps me in a good frame of mind. I only really relax like properly, like in my own flow of things, when it's a Saturday or a Sunday, because I'm trying to keep the same feeling and differentiate between weekend and weekday. So that's something to sort of mention there. Having a routine has been super helpful. And just getting stuck into loads of cool projects that I've wanted to do for so long, that's taken up loads of my time. And because I'm at a point now where I just want these things to succeed, it's more exciting when I'm sitting on my own planning stuff and getting it all ready and written up. It's like, this is my thing that I'm working on. This is really exciting. Where could this go? So I guess there's loads of different factors. I think the thing to remember is, if you're someone listening now and you definitely suffer, you are suffering with a social drought and you're struggling without the social interaction, you need to kind of sit down for a second and think, what am I happiest doing on my own? I don't mean being on your own, like playing an online game with loads of online people that you don't really know in your real life. That counts still. That's fine. That's, you know, I'm not saying don't have any social interaction. I'm trying to like point people in the right direction as to how they can adapt without having it 24/7, you know? That's something really important to remember. So for example, the last week, so we're on Thursday today. So I've woken up every day, like since Monday. I wake up at 8 o'clock. Every other day I go for a run. So I went for a run today. So it's been like Tuesday. It's going to be Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday this week. And then I would go for a run with my headphones in. Normally what I do is I work in music. I put in like forthcoming stuff that I'm going to release and I listen to it on my run. So I'm kind of like working where I'm like thinking about where I can place it in terms of playlists or radio. So that's kind of exciting. It's kind of like productive. And I normally just go for a run and just run on the beach and just take the sights in. It's just nice having a bit of atmosphere. And then when I get home, I jump straight in the shower. I drink loads of water, jump in the shower. Then I have my breakfast and I have like a tea and stuff. And I feel really good. Then I'm always on my computer by like 9:30. And I'll go through my emails, go through little bits here and there. I've got like a dual monitor set up. So I've got like 2 screens. So I normally have 1 screen with all my work stuff and just going through and catching up stuff and just going through my to-do list. On my other screen, I normally have like a game loaded up where I just kind of keep it there idly in the background. And I can kind of jump between the two, and that's like my social interaction. And then the work stuff is like my own solo adventure, which is kind of funny. But also, me and a few friends have this little morning coffee group chat, and it's just 3 of us, and we all work from home. So we literally just do a call about 10 a.m., 11 a.m. every day, and we just sit there and not really talk much and just have each other on in the background on our FaceTime. It's just quite nice. Little things like that. I normally go for a walk at the same time every day, which is like 12 o'clock. And I just go on a bit of an adventure and I sort of think about stuff. I've just got very good at being on my own. And I think that's something to really remember. I was never good at that before. I would always try and meet someone, always, always, always. Don't get me wrong, I would always still choose to meet someone than just be on my own. But I've definitely got to that point where I could just be on my own without feeling stressed or upset. I had to have a sip of water because we've been doing this for ages. And that's kind of what I wanted to discuss today. I just think there's a lot of pressure right now in the world around us. Everyone's pressured, everyone's stressing out about what they should do, how they should be. Lockdown's coming to an end, like, whoa, what's going on? Like, that's really, really tough. How are we going to cope? How are we going to survive? Now, I'll conclude this episode with a few things about that. So, in order to create a sense of longevity for this episode, because this someone might be listening to this in like 2 or 3 years' time. I don't want to blow my own trumpet. That could just be a reality, though. And they might not be in a pandemic, but the title of this episode may have kind of drawn them in. So in regards to what I'm going to say next, you know, we're at a point now where we've been told, so it's February at the moment, Feb 2021, we've been told that by June, July 2021, the country should be out of a lockdown and things should be back to normal. Obviously, everyone's really excited right now, but I myself, I'm very anxious and overwhelmed by it. I'm suddenly like, well, I need to do this and I've been saving this money. Do I now need to go buy this and buy a house and get a mortgage, or do I go rent and what do I do? And when do I go back to the gym? And then how am I going to do this? And what if me and my friends aren't the same? And then what if I don't want to live in Brighton? What if my work turns around and lets me go? Like, what am I going to do? And now I've got to buy all these festival tickets. And now I've got to buy all these different day events because everyone's going to be out and the FOMO pressure is going to be on. Fucking overwhelming. But then I had to slow myself down and say, well, at the end of the day, this is going to happen in waves. This is going to start from like end of March running up to July. So there's going to be like increments with like five week increments at a time where it sort of levels itself out, you know, starting off with a few mates in the garden, then sort of hairdressers and stuff open again, then the gym's open, then it's like pubs outdoors and it's pubs indoors and it's like gatherings indoors and it's like clubs. Thing is, there's a nice transition here. And I think a lot of us, myself included, were just like thinking at the end goal, like, fuck, how are we going to be like that again? That's going to be so tough. There's so much to think about. I don't know if I'm ready for it. Da-da-da-da-da. I don't know if I'm in the right place in my life, whatever. Thing is, by the time, when the time's right, the time's right. And by that point, we will all be ready because we would have had the small but slow, steady steps in the right direction with the sort of, you know, the relaxing of the rules. So I think that's definitely something to remember. Again, just acceptance. Just accept that like things are going to be slow and things are going to open up again in their own time. Just take it one day at a time. It's all good. No one's putting pressure on yourself apart from you. I think we're all guilty of that. Definitely, you know, definitely in this current climate. Now, just for the people in the back, the people that may be listening in like a year's time when there is no pandemic, that recent example, you could look at that as like a change in your life circumstances, whether you're moving to somewhere else or you're going to a new job or there's a new friendship group, a new girlfriend. There's like a lot of pressure on you. Like, oh my God, I'm chatting to this girl and I don't want to do a lot of pressure. All we need to do, really, and I think this is quite universal advice, is kind of just go with it. Just ride it. Unless there's something really, really digging deep inside of you and it's just like, no. And your gut is like, please, no. Then go with your gut. But really, like, in these scenarios, we just got to ride through stuff. I think life is a good way of just unfolding. Because if your mindset is just going with it, then your mindset will pick up things along that journey that could become really valuable. It's like when I dropped out of uni and I just went to go work in retail and I just kind of went with it. And in turn, my record label of 5.5 years was born. Do you know what I mean? I just kind of rode through life. And in turn, this whole hobby popped up. And then that hobby has become a business. That hobby has become a CV. That hobby has become my entry into a lot of different companies that I've been working for over the years. So I think that's definitely something to remember. We have the potential to kind of just ride through life as it comes. And I think this next chapter is going to be so important for all of us. Let's just ride into it. Just slow it down. It's all going to be fine. One day at a time. No one's putting pressure on you. I think we're all putting pressure on ourselves. And that's the problem here. So I think I'll conclude there. I wanted to kind of go into some more detail, but also I'm just not feeling 100% like in the mood. I'm not in the mood to really talk at the moment. I'm very much just like, I want to just go out for a walk and just chill. I'm just trying to see this lockdown through and just try and keep living the best version of myself every day, which is easier said than done. So I'm sorry if this episode felt a little bit all over the place. But like I said, I don't really like to write stuff down. I just like to have a sort of vague idea of what I'm going to talk about and just kind of go with it. Makes it feel more natural, more organic. And like I said, to be honest with you, as soon as I'm allowed to sort of meet people again and work with guests, you know, the podcast formula will resume to being more guest heavy. rather than solo episodes from me. The solo episodes will be more of like me checking in. And that's essentially what all these solo episodes have been. But I've also been like sort of building themes around them just to kind of give them a sort of context or purpose rather than just me sitting here chatting shit for an hour. So I hope that does help. And like I said, anyone who actually, you know, enjoys the podcast and listens to it on a regular, please do make yourselves known, because the more people that I know are listening, the more I'd like to sort of, you know, push the content on this channel. So also, I'm so tired. There we go. Like my sleep is so shit. I am so tired. I'm literally here, my eyes, every time I speak, because it's tiring speaking as well. My eyes are like drooping. And it's grey and cloudy outside, so it doesn't even help. The weather does not help. But I am so tired. I am just like closing my eyes while saying these words. So I'm so ready just to kind of take a step back and unwind. And I think in terms of the next episode, I've got no plans as to when that's going to be. I definitely think it's going to be about the time I got mugged. And I'm going to really kind of go through like a narrative experience with that one. But again, I don't know when that's going to be. And something else might come out before then if I fill up for. But yeah, I'm not going to put pressure on myself to keep recording episodes, because it is just a difficult, tiring thing sometimes. And you have to be in the right mindset. But anyway, thanks for listening. Again, always appreciate it. And I guess I'll be seeing you. I don't know why I always say this at the end. It's like, I sound like a fucking idiot. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'll see you on the next one. It's like, I'm not a fucking television presenter. Do you know what I mean? But it's awkward. It's hard because I'm like talking to myself, but it's like I'm talking to people. So I'm trying to talk to people that are listening. Like, I'll see you later. But it's hard. Do you know what I mean? But I don't want to say see you later. I'll see you on the next one to myself. So I'll just end it there. And I'm going to now start playing. Here we go. I'm going to start playing the soundtrack in now. There we go. That'll help me ease out. And okay, I'm going to say goodbye. 3, 2, 1, I'm saying goodbye. Thank you for listening and goodbye.